welcome to part two of our series, Legacy. We started this last week, and a great time we had together as we just launched into this series. Let me just say again, there has been something that has just been, you ever had that still small voice kind of just speak to you that just keeps coming up in the same theme over and over again? I have been experiencing that, and I just feel like it's just God encouraging me. And what he keeps telling me is I am building my church. I'll be in different settings talking to different people, and that little voice will come in again, just confirming, I am building my church. And Jesus said this. Actually, he said that he would build his church. He even went on to say, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, which is kind of what we sung about, that he's an unstoppable God, and he is building his church. And his church is not just an institution, it is a family. Jesus is putting together the family of God that's going to be an eternal family, and we're going to spend eternity together with one another. But right now he's pulling his family together. He is building his church, and I'm so excited to be a part of that. We used to sing a song, I'm a part of the family of God. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. You can tell us an old song, sod. Anyway, and just how wonderful and what an honor it is to be a part of the family of God and about what God is doing. But can I tell you, the way that God does that, if you look through Scripture, you look through the centuries of time, and that is that one generation speaks of him to the next generation. In fact, God would encourage his people throughout Scripture to tell your children and your children's children and be sure and keep them reminded. Be sure and tell them of who I am. And we tell them, really what we tell them is our story, what God did in our life. And that's communicated to the next generation in hopes that not just they hear a story, but the next generation has their own experience with God, comes to discover who he is, has their own encounter, their own story that then they communicate to the next generation and so on and so forth. And that's how God is building his church. And so my prayer, my hope is that we as a church are continuing to be used by God to build his church and to communicate to other generations and to continue to leave a legacy. And so that is not just age-wise, but that's part of it. But it really applies to anybody other than myself, that I am leaving a legacy, that I am communicating, and that I am living a life beyond myself. In fact, that's what we talked about last week, and we actually talked about how even psychologists will tell you that there are some basic needs that we have as human beings. And we went through some of those last week, and you can get if you missed that, you can go online and listen to the message and download the notes there. But then having those basic needs met, then we move on to what is categorized as the growth needs. And the ultimate of our growth needs is reaching this pinnacle, this place of living a life of transcendence. And that means that we're living not just for ourselves, but we are living to make a difference in the life of somebody else. And what is discovered is it is the height of fulfillment as a human being when you get to the stage where you're not just worrying about me and my problems and how I'm going to survive and get through another day and pay another bill and come on, you know what I'm saying, punch another clock and eat another meal and go to bed and die. It's got to be more than that. When we get beyond those basic needs and those are met and we get to this place of transcendence where we're making a difference in the life of somebody else, what a huge difference it makes. And can I tell you that it's not just making a difference here, but there's also another side of this story. And it's not because what we do here, listen, church, this counts. This counts. In fact, the Bible tells us that there is actually a judgment day coming. And I'm not talking about the white judgment when it's determined whether you're going to heaven or hell. But what I'm talking about is as Christians, as believers, there's going to be a judgment for us. It's a reward judgment. It's judging what we have done on this earth. And there's going to be some rewards handed out. Let me tell you, what you do on this earth is going to make even an internal difference, not in the lives of others, but also in yourself. So we talked about living beyond ourselves. Now today's message is going to be very, I believe, inspirational. And I believe that you're going to leave here inspired to go out and make a difference. So let me jump right into the first verse. You can pull out your message notes there and your worship guide. We've got it up here on the screen for you as well. But look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And so as a pastor, I'm going to do that same thing today. I urge you. That means this is of vital importance, that you live a life that is worthy of the calling you have received. Now, this is what we also know about Scripture, and that is that in Scripture, when they first wrote the Scripture in its original manuscript, there were not verses and chapters, but those that translated the Bible on down to us has actually categorized this so we can find stuff easy, and they put chapters and they put verses. But sometimes it kind of messes up the flow when we end the chapter and say that's it, but actually there's a continual thought that goes from chapter to chapter. So I want to look at what really backs up to this, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And this is what it says. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Let me back up. To him who is able to do more. Everybody say more. Come on, say it like you mean it. More. He's able to do more than we could even ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, not because of anything we've done, but because of his power at work in us. And I love how this finishes up. It says, to him be glory in the church. Now, God is building his church. I believe the local church is the hope of the world. Things come and go, but God has always has a people and a remnant of people, a church, to be his representation on this earth. The church is of vital importance. Can I say that again? The church, the local church, is of vital importance. It's not a leave it or take it, whatever, okay, maybe, what, and out. No, the church, God is building his church, and he says to him, be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever, amen. So then, having understanding of that, we can then say, I urge you then to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So those two go hand in hand. Here's the fear. The fear is that we will go through life and live this ordinary existence, and I want to stir you up to an extraordinary life. Not because you are extraordinary or I'm extraordinary, but because he living inside of us is extraordinary. In fact, I believe God wants us to live an extraordinary life. I believe God wants us to live beyond just the mundane, day in, day out. In fact, Jesus declared, I've come that you might have life and that you might live it to the full, that you might have it to the fullest. And so I believe God wants us to live life to the full. And so my question for you is, what would that look like? What would that look like if your life was lived to the full? There was a movie that came out some years ago called The Bucket List. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that, but it was a couple older guys that were up in life, and they had actually been both diagnosed with a terminal cancer. And they decided they were not going to have much more time on this earth. And so one of them was actually very wealthy. And so they decided they would just go out and spend some money and fulfill those things that were on their bucket list. Those things that they never had an opportunity, never had time to do. They were just going to go out and fulfill their bucket list. And, you know, it was a good theme, good message in that. But my question for you and I is what does your, do you have a bucket list, first of all? Do you have a bucket list? And what would be on that list? And I got to thinking about that myself, and I started my own little bucket list that I was looking at. And some of these I really don't want to share with you because they're personal, and I don't want you to know it's all on my bucket list. You don't need to know. But there's some things that I think I could share with you that was on my bucket list. And some of them are attainable. Some of them would take God to pull them off. And my point of this is that you need something in your bucket list that's not just something you can do, but something that may never happen. Now, some of these things may never, ever happen, but if you never have a goal, you're never going to hit it. You know what I'm saying? And so just looking through these, I mean, here's one that I think is pretty good. That I think this is happening. I pray it continues to happen. My family will always love and respect and honor one another. You know, just some stuff like that. My family will always be committed to God and the church. Here's a good practical one. Become debt free. Anybody feel me on that one? All right. Retire from my secular job. And go full time with this one. Yeah. That's on my list. A lot of these have to do actually with Crosspoint, and that is to see us lead 1,000 people to Christ. Can I get a good amen there? We'll say, Pastor, we don't even have 100 in the house. Why are you talking 1,000? Because we need to have something big enough that it takes God to pull it off. All right, and to see Crosspoint grow to over 1,000 and beyond. Pastor, we don't have that much parking. That's all right. It'll take God to pull it off. We're going to have multiple services, and maybe we'll have some other campuses. In fact, one of my things on my bucket list is to plant some new churches. Here's one on my bucket list, and that is to author a book to encourage some pastors, especially some church planters, because been there, done that. I could tell you all the things what not to do. Have some things on your list that it's going to take God to do. To lead 1,000 students to Christ that will be free and filled and following and leading and fulfilled. Amen. And to have a vibrant, growing Christian children's ministry that impacts young lives, and also not just in-house, but then goes out and affects and impacts our communities. Here's one. I want to go back to Hawaii. I went to Hawaii on my honeymoon. Amen. Come on. I'm going to go to Hawaii. And I haven't been back. Cody, I'll go with you. I'll just hook up I'll just connect with you and we'll go to. I haven't been able to go because we got married and we had kids. And then you don't have the money to go to Hawaii anymore if you have kids. You know, I'd love to go, and I've always said this, and every time we start to do this, for some reason or another, I don't. I want to go jet skiing, y'all. Oh, yeah. I mean, I just want to go jet skiing. Never done it, and my wife always says, let's just wait. And I've been waiting, and I'm 54, you know? I mean, I just want to go jet ski. I've contemplated whether I really want to jump out of a plane with a parachute. I'm really not sure if I want to do that. I haven't put that on here, but I'm contemplating that one. Let's get back to something a little more. I'd love to see my whole family, all of us, go on some mission trips and see some effect around on the other side of the planet. Come on, everybody. What I'm saying is we need to dream something big, and it may be that some of the things on your bucket list never will happen. But guess what? You need to put some things on there that it would take God to pull off. And can I tell you that I believe God wants to speak some vision into your life, and not only into your life, but into our church, that we will believe and have some vision for some things that are not just run-of-the-mill, we can do this, we got this down, we know what we're doing here, but no, we need something to dream something so big that it's going to take God to show up to pull it off. Amen? I believe God honors that kind of faith. I believe that's what he wants. Amen? So I'm praying that we will be, listen, Get a goal for your life. Failure is not when you don't achieve your goal. It's when you don't have one. All right? And failure, I heard this week on the radio. I thought this was so good. Failure, look at it this way, is not a person. Failure is an event. Say you tried something and it didn't work. That failed. That's an event that failed. But you're not a failure. Is that good? Okay? So we need to understand that God wants us to have this extraordinary life, but as we launch out into that kind of a place, that kind of a living, there are some, and making a difference in lives of others and impacting the world for God, there are some legacy stoppers. I want to go quickly through some of these. Number one in that is that we have a wrong view of self, and that can manifest itself in many ways. One is insecurity. I mean, we say, well, I just can't do it. I don't have what it takes. I'm insecure. I don't feel comfortable with that. And then we actually have this wrong idea of what humility is. And humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less, right? We say, I'm just this worm. I don't have what it takes. I don't have potential. But no, that is not true. That's not true at all. God sees a potential inside of you. And I've been sharing with my wife, I think sometimes that the enemy of our soul knows our potential better than we do. I said, have you ever thought about the fact that maybe he recognizes things that are happening in the spiritual? I'm not saying he could see into the future, but I think the enemy hangs around and he sees things that are happening that we don't see. He looks at us and he sees potential that we don't see, and he comes in and tries to attack us to prevent us from reaching the full potential that God has placed on our life. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, well, I'm just insecure and I don't have what it takes. But listen to me, God's greatness lives on the inside of you, and you have all the potential that you need, because it's not your potential, it's his potential. Amen. It's not about your ability, it's about your availability and his ability to do what he's called to do. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? And then there's this thing of fear. That we view ourselves wrong in this sense, that we have this fear. We're paralyzed oftentimes by fear. We're bound up by fear that we can't move forward because of fear. Another one is inadequacy. And so oftentimes we measure, you measure yourself by yourself, not the God that's inside of you. And you are inadequate, but yet God's inside of you. And if God's inside of you, you are more than a conqueror. Amen? And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And then there's this reluctance. This reluctance where you have this bad view of yourself and you're just reluctant to step out. You know that you can, but you are reluctant. You won't. You procrastinate. You say, I will. I want to get on the growth track, but I'm just reluctant to do it today. Today, we've been speaking this word around the house here lately. Today is the day of salvation, and today is a great day to start the growth track. You heard it on the announcement video, 201. Karen's going to be teaching. It's going to be awesome. Give you some essentials about how to live this thing out and make your life count and make a difference. Come on, everybody. Get on the growth track. Get it. Get in and get involved. Don't be reluctant. 1 Peter says this in chapter 2, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. We're a special people so we can puff out our chest? No, so that we can proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That we can declare what God has done and make a difference in the life of other people. Another legacy stopper is not only a wrong view of self, but also a wrong view of people. Our view of people. Oftentimes we look at not at people to love them. We oftentimes look at people as a problem to avoid. And we need to be able to look at people in an entirely different way. There are people that come up and try to intimidate us. And here's the thing, it's your choice. You could look at people as if they're intimidating or they're entertaining. It's your choice. It's how you look at people, it's how you look at the situation, right? It's how you deal with life and how you look at other people. And so we need to look at people as an opportunity, as potential, not see them in the natural, but see them through God's eyes in the supernatural and see their potential, right? So it's how we look at things, how we deal with things, how we deal with people. I mean, we come in here and we love each other. Good to see you. God bless you. I mean, that's the terminology we use around. God bless you. How you doing? Have a good week. Good to see you. And then we go out in traffic and we get on 49 and we get up here at this light where it won't turn green and nobody knows how to merge and nobody knows how to get over and nobody knows how to go when it turns green and they're putting the light rail system in and we're like, go! And then that guy won't turn fast enough, and we're saying, turn or burn. And yes, I've done that. But anyway, I'm saying, but we need to be looking at things. In a, you know you do it. I'm just telling you where we all live. All right, there are times, okay? But we need to be able to view people and say, look at how many people are in the University City area. Look how it's growing. Look how we, instead of this being a problem beside us with all this growth, we're saying there's more people that we can reach for God. the UNC Charlotte, get this, is the fastest growing university in the state of North Carolina. Did you know that? It's on target to be the largest campus in the entire state, and we're situated right across the street from it. It's an opportunity. It's not a problem. I don't like those kids and what they do over there, and they're making noise, and I don't like the band playing out there, and I want some peace and quiet. Listen, it's an opportunity to reach them. Come on, everybody. It's how we view people, right? Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The Bible goes on to say he was moved with compassion towards them to meet the needs of the people. We need to see people not just as problems. We need to see people that are hurting. Kim was talking about it this morning, that we need to look beyond their faces and look into their heart and see their needs. There are people all around us that are in bondage. There are people that are addicted. There are people that have habits that bound them down. There's people that, listen, there are sex trafficking that's going on around us, where girls are being abused 40 times a day. It's happening around us. We need to open our eyes and realize all this happening. People that are addicted to all kind of crazy addictions. And listen, Jesus Christ has set us here to make a difference in the lives of people. We need to see there's a reason why we're here. There's a reason why we have the dream team. There's a reason why we meet here on Sundays and pray and plan and strategize how to make a difference in people's lives. There's a reason why you give when it's time to give. There's a reason why we spend time praying and seeking God to make a difference in people's lives, because eternity is at stake here, right? Eternity is at stake. And you can never leave a legacy if you have the wrong view of people. Another thing is that we oftentimes have a wrong view of God. We forget that He is a miracle-working God. So we only dream dreams that we can fulfill. On our bucket list, how many things on your bucket list can you never fulfill unless God shows up? You need a few on there, at least a few that only can happen if God shows up. And that's what God wants for us. He wants life to be. That's where life is fun. It's exhilarating. It's an exhilarating life where God is involved, and that's the way He intended it to be. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, it says this, "Ah, Lord, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm." Nothing, everybody say it. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. And so we need to realize that it's maybe too hard for us, but God is now living on the inside. And if God's living on the inside of us, then that means Him inside of us, then nothing's too hard for us because He's on the inside. Are you following me? That's why Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." John chapter 14 says this, "I tell you the truth." He says, "I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. It's the truth. You need to believe it. Anyone who has faith in me." Let me just stop right there. Faith. Hebrews tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What are some things that you hope for? Some things that you got to believe. That's why you need vision to believe. There's going to be something beyond just going to work, punching the clock, coming home, going to bed, getting up, doing it all over again. There's got to be more than that, and faith taps into that. It's this hope, this substance of things that are hoped for. If anyone has this faith in me, will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And so he says, I've done some great things, but you're going to do greater things. Now, that's kind of hard to fathom. And I'm not saying we're any better than Jesus, but what he was saying was he is sending the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be in all of us, and it's going to be dispersed around the world exponentially. Things are going to be incredibly growing and increasing in the kingdom of God because he has left us here, and we're multiplying, and we're filling the whole earth, right? And so he says greater things. And so I want to just encourage you guys. We need to believe for greater things. Everybody say greater things. He will do even greater things. And so that means that what we do here matters. That means if God's called us to greater things, can I tell you something else that matters? And you don't probably like to think about this, and oftentimes I don't like to think about it either, but numbers matter. Numbers matter. Well, people, we shouldn't be about the numbers. Let me go on record. We are about the numbers. We should be about the number. You know why? Because we should be about the number of people that we can see delivered from, that are on their way going to hell that are now going to heaven, right? If heaven and hell is real, then numbers are important. It's important how many numbers of marriages are put back together. It's important how many people are redeemed and saved and delivered and set free. It's important how many people are set free from drugs. It's important how many students we reach for the cause of Christ. It matters because people matter. Can I tell you this? Can I just be a pastor right here and just say this in a loving way? This house matters. Because this is not our house. This is his house. And so he wants to do something with this house. He wants to do something in this house. He wants to do something through this house. And this house is comprised of you. You're his house. You're his family. You're his church. And you matter. You make a difference. I mentioned this to the Dream Team Huddle this morning. We were talking about presence. The fact of the matter is, if God's presence is what we need, how does God show up? He shows up in us. He lives inside of us. And so if we want his presence, guess what? We want you. We want you to show up with God's presence in you. And you matter. And so I just want to go somewhere here this morning. And I'm so concerned that I'm going to be offensive. But I just feel like I need to be a pastor. My intention is not to be offensive. My intention is to lovingly try to encourage you in this that I'm about to say. And I didn't know I was going to say this, but I thought about saying it, and I've contemplated it, but I really think I need to say this. And that is that being here is important on Sundays. You say, well, I don't know if I really feel like being there or want to be there or need to be there. Yes, you do, because you matter. You make a difference. It's not a leave it or take it. But here's the thing. It's about living a life of transcendence. If it is all about you, and you're just trying to meet your four basic needs, you may need to be here, not be here. It doesn't really matter. But when you get to this stage, understanding that you got to be there for somebody else, you got to be here to make a difference in the life of another person, that means that your presence, your body, your being here matters, because it's not just about you, it's about the other person. And you say, well, I don't think I'm that important. Well, we need to go backtrack to the view of yourself. Because you are so important. Your presence, just showing up, being there for somebody, being a word of encouragement. You never know how God's going to use you to speak a word of encouragement to somebody. So I just want to say, we need to be committed to God, yes, but we also need to be committed to his house, right? And I'm not trying to be legalistic there. And I know there's times, but I want to tell you, I can't tell you the last time I missed church. I don't know what you're thinking. Well, you're the pastor, silly. Let me tell you, when I wasn't the pastor, okay, all my life. When I married Kim, she had perfect attendance in Sunday school for 19 years. I blew that. I messed it up on her honeymoon the next day, you know, broke her record. And I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm lovingly telling you, I'm telling you, it'll make a difference in your life. You see, here's the thing about living a life of transcendence. It doesn't just affect the other person, the recipient. What it does something for you. That's what even psychologists have figured out. Listen, it does something for you. Your life's going to be more fulfilled. You're going to be more complete. Your family's going to begin to work better. You're going to begin to work better. Life's going to be better for you when you're all in. Come on, everybody. The basketball team says all in. Let's go all in. Amen. I'm not fussing. I'm not fussing. I promise you I'm not fussing. I want this not just for the church. I want this for you. I don't just want this for others. I want this for you. I hope we're okay. Are everybody okay? Smile at me. Let me know you still love me. I still love you, Pastor. All right. I mean, go all in. My wife tells me that my family, my boys are way too intense when it comes to Florida State football. I don't want to talk about it today. Margaret's not even here. I was going to congratulate her. I already sent her a text. Congratulate her. Clemson beat us. Yes, okay. And the boys are back there. Dad, please don't bring this up. But my wife thinks we are too intense with this thing, and just to the point of scary for her. She just has to leave the house or go to the other end of the house or something. And I told her, I said, I get that. You're right. You are so right. But there's a principle in there. Okay, I'm going to pull out a principle out there. And that is that at least our boys are learning to care about something. Instead of saying, well, it doesn't matter, give it or take it, I don't care, whatever. You know, just get up and bounce from one drama to the next. No, your life needs to, you need to go all in. I mean, it may not be Florida State football or whatever your football team is, but you need to go all in. You need to understand there's some things that matter. And I want to tell you, I love what Pastor Steve texted me. He said, Pastor, was there a football game today? That was yesterday. And I said, don't want to talk about it. You know, I texted, I don't want to talk about it. And then he reminded me, he said, tomorrow morning at 10:30 is the ACC Championship. It is the World Series. It is the Super Bowl at 10:30 on Sunday morning. That's what matters. The gospel is what matters. Amen? All right. It's not just a game. It's life and death. It's life and death. I know I'm excited today. I came here charged up. I want to inspire you, come on, to be a legacy leaver. Come on, leave a legacy for somebody and make a difference. Who wants to live a boring life? It's going to take faith, though, to be a legacy leaver. Let me just share this story with you. And now I've just pulled all this together. Now I gave you some legacy stoppers, but let me just give you this story of faith. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 3. And let me set this up for you. Israel is divided. There's two kingdoms. There's a southern kingdom, a northern kingdom. There's Israel and Judah. And yet it's kind of all the same thing, but they're divided. And so there's a king over Israel. There's a king over Judah. And then there's another king over a place called Edom. And so the king of Israel felt like Moab was doing him wrong and was being rebellious to him. So he wanted to go take it out on him. And so he decides he's going to pull together these three kings, the king of Judah, the king of Edom, and himself. And these three is going to be three against one. Hey, man, the odds are in their favor. They're going to win this thing. And they're going to go fight against Moab. But it wasn't working for them. It wasn't working. And so they decided they would call on a prophet to speak some things over them and to help them be successful. And they found Elisha, who was a protege of Elijah. They found out there was miracles in his life. That they said, well, it looks, sounds like the hand of God is upon him. So let's take it up in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And after a roundabout march of 7 days, stop right there, 7 days. Doesn't that sound kind of familiar? A roundabout of 7 days. It sounds like they were trying to pull from an old miracle. Remember the walls of Jericho? Sound like there were, and guess what? It didn't work going back and trying to just revisit an old miracle. And so it says that then the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals. They were out of water. There was no rain. And so the king says, what? Exclaimed the king of Israel. You got to have fun with the word of God. You got to read your, you know. What? Exclaimed the king of Israel. Has the Lord called us three kings together only to hand us over to Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord through him? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha the son of Shaphat is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. He was his servant. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, he didn't like him very much, what do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and your prophets of your mother. And he says, no, the king of Israel answered, because it is the Lord who called us three kings together to hand us over to Moab. So we need God to deliver us. We need help from him. And Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, he says, I would not look at you or even notice you. Yeah, I wouldn't even pay you any attention. I don't have respect for you, but Jehoshaphat, I do, and I'll listen to you. And so he, when it came right down to it, here's what then that Elisha said. He said, all right. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, because of Jehoshaphat, I'm going to seek the Lord on your behalf and hear what the word of the Lord is for you. And he said this. This is kind of an odd thing. In verse 15, he says, but now bring me a harpist. Now here they are. They're wanting to go to war. Okay. They're looking for some weapons to do battle with. And he says, bring me a harpist. And so he says, while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Now, I just want to show you something. There is a teachable principle in this, and it has to do with the presence of God. It teaches us how to have faith for greater things. Dwayne, I want you to help me with this. Dwayne's going to come and help me. I want you just to play some mood music, okay? Just something that to create some presence. I want you to notice what happens here. So here they are, and Elijah's saying, bring in some music. I just need some music. I just need some music. Now notice how the mood in here just changed. Did you feel that? I mean, just a few notes and everything just... Come on, Dwayne, give me some. All right, now stop. No, stop. All right, now you notice how it just changed back? All right, let me give you another one. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will turn strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. All right, let me show you something else. Dwayne, help me with that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. I'm not even singing to that good news. You still receive, right? And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. What I want to show is there's something about presence. And Elisha teaches us something about faith, and that is this, that faith is birthed in God's presence. Faith is birthed in God's presence. And some of us have no faith because we have no presence. We haven't been in his presence. We're standing in this attainable level, just weighing out the pros and cons of what we can do and what we cannot do. But we've never experienced, or we haven't experienced in a long time, his presence. I think God wants to bring us into his presence where we can just be still and we can know that he is God. We need presence. We need presence. Are you getting this? Just presence. Presence. Just presence. Here's the bad news. The bad news is Dwayne can't go home with you today. Okay? All right. Right, Karen? You're taking him home. Okay. All right. Stop for just a minute. Kill him. This is what it sounds like at your house. See? That's what I was going to... Okay, help me come back in again. All right? So we come in here on Sunday morning and we got God's presence. Oh, worship. I'm on the front row doing this. I don't know what y'all doing behind me, but I'm doing this, you know. And then we're up in traffic and we're saying, get out of my way, coming through, you know. And what we need to do is put on some music and get into his presence. Are you following me? We need his presence. So that means tomorrow morning when you wake up, put on some music and get it into some worship. After work, when you come home and, you know, you're ready to kill anything that's breathing, okay? Worship. Worship. Put on some music and worship. I got out this thing that somebody gave me as a gift a few months ago. It's a little device that I can hook to my iPad and I can get a louder speaker and I can let it, you know, and I can just put me on some praise music. I was using that this week. You know, I mean, here's the thing. Our job is Here's what my job is. My job is to stir this in you so that you can go find God for yourself. Not just show up Sunday morning, I've been, come on. No, it's to stir something up in you so that you will go find God. Seek Him and find Him. I want to stir some vision in you that you can get in His presence and that you can begin to believe again and say, my wayward son is coming home. My daughter that's rebellious is coming home. There's a breakthrough coming for me. There's a breakthrough coming for our church. We need to get in His presence where all things are possible. Verse 16. And he said, this is what the Lord says, make this valley full of ditches. Here's another point. There was no water, there was no cloud, there was no sight of rain, and they needed water. And they told him to go dig some ditches. Okay? This is the next point, and that is that faith goes beyond inspiration to participation. God always has something for us to do. We can't just leave it all up to God, but God always wants to get us involved first. He wants you to move. He, to the blind man, he laid his hands on him, but then he said, go wash. To those he was feeding, the 5,000, he told his disciples, go put them in groups of 50. Why? I don't know. Just do it. Do something. Move. Participate. Dig some ditches. I want to tell you what we're doing around here. We're digging some ditches. I don't understand what all you're doing, Pastor. Why are you doing this and that? We're digging some ditches, believing that God's going to send some water, amen? That God's going to fulfill His promise, that God's going to do what He called us to do. We've been digging ditches. Kim and I have been digging ditches. Some of you right alongside of us for a long time, we've been digging some ditches. But God, when we honor Him and we do what He's called us to do, it may be something small and insignificant, but God's going to help us make a difference. We're going to reach some children. We're going to reach some students for the cause of Christ. 2 Kings says this then, for this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you and your cattle and other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. So we don't see any sign that God is actually at work. We don't see any wind. We don't see any rain, but this brings us to the final point, and that is that faith continues regardless of what is seen. The rain, the water, or the water that came did not come from the sky. It came through, though, and it filled up the land. It just began to pour, began to move, began to come. And I want to tell you, you're looking for one thing, and you don't see anything, you don't feel anything, and it's not, doesn't seem to be there. But faith continues regardless of what is seen. So we don't give up on our dreams. We keep digging. We may get discouraged at times, but we're going to keep trusting. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. We're not going to look at the circumstances. We're going to turn our eyes upon Jesus. See, that's what legacy leavers do. We put our hope in the unseen, not the seen, because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's no God like our God. There's no God like You. We believe that greater things are yet to come and greater things are still to be done in this city. So I pray, Father, for each and every one of us that we will have an injection of faith, that we will believe again, that we'll dream again, that we'll have and come to a place of hope and expectancy and live a life that is extraordinary. Some of you in this message have sensed probably the drawing of the Holy Spirit and know that you need to commit your life completely to God. I want to just lead you in a prayer right where you're sitting without having you stand or come to the front. But if that's you and you say, I need to respond today, I need Him in my life today, would you right now boldly, would you just shoot up your hand right where you are, and I'm just going to pray with you right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. But that's you. You say, I need to commit today. I need to commit my life to you, God. There's an area of my life that's not surrendered to God today. I'm ready to surrender. Would you just slip up a hand very quickly and put it right back down? Yes, God bless you. Pray this prayer. Pray this prayer. Say, God, I need You. I call out to you, Jesus, save me. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of every area of my life. I repent of my ways and I turn my life and my heart to you. Lord, be on the inside of me. Change me. Make me brand new. Put purpose inside of me. I'm going to serve you with all I've got. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I surrender my all. I love you, Lord.